You know, I have a question for you. I'm watching Raw tonight, and a lot of commercial breaks, a lot of the same commercials over and over again. You know what I'm not going to be eating anytime soon? I'm not going to be eating the Nerds gummy clusters. You know why? I'm not going to eat them out of protest because I lost count of how many times tonight I had to listen to that Flashdance commercial. How many times do we have to hear that fucking Flashdance commercial tonight? I have it embedded in my brain. And by the way, the fact that I show Green Man at the beginning of this does not necessarily indicate that I was unhappy with Raw. I actually thought tonight's Raw was a very strong show. So don't look at little green guy trying to fall into the hole there and automatically assume that I thought Raw was a bad show. That does not necessarily mean what it means. I thought tonight's show, very little in the way of filler tonight, which is always a welcome change on a 3-hour show. Usually on a 3-hour show, we get some filler segments. Honestly, the only thing I would look at tonight and consider it to be filler would be the Ricochet match that we had with Dominic. And even that, there's a little story going on there, I guess. But that would honestly be the only thing I would say that was filler. There was a women's tag team match where they are clearly advancing Candice LeRae's heel turn. I don't know how that's going to play into WrestleMania necessarily, since we're 19 days away, I think they said, from WrestleMania. Everything else on this show tonight, though, served a purpose. We had a situation going into tonight's Raw involving Cody Rhodes, where he was taking a lot of shots from The Rock. Because The Rock goes out there on SmackDown every single week. He can say whatever he wants to say. He can use whatever kind of language he wants to use. He uses some adult language to go out there and make his point. And he has been making Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins look silly. Now, Seth Rollins makes himself look silly just the way he dresses every single week. And when he goes out there and he says stuff like Diarrhea Dwayne, he kind of does it to himself. But The Rock went out there on SmackDown last week and he has a little rock concert. And he brought up Cody's mom, Mama Rhodes, and he talked about how he's gonna whip her son like a dog, and I'm gonna, give my leather weight belt to Cody's mom at WrestleMania, and all of his blood and his DNA is gonna be all over it. And he's calling Cody all sorts of names, mocking him for crying on the show last week. Cody had to come into this show tonight and fire back at The Rock. That was the single most important thing coming into this episode of Monday Night Raw. How would Cody Rhodes respond to The Rock? Can't have Cody come out here and cry. We can't have Cody come out here and be Mr. Nice Guy. The gloves have to come off. And I am happy to report that is exactly what happened. Cody came out tonight. He looked like a different Cody Rhodes. He had an angry look on his face. He still, kind of cut the typical Cody Rhodes promo where he has a certain promo style. It's not The Rock. He has his own way of delivering things, but I thought that Cody Rhodes went out there tonight and said what needed to be said. He threw it back in The Rock's face. They let him go and use some cuss words on TV. They took the handcuffs off a little bit, and that's all well and good. To me, honestly, that doesn't even matter. Whether he goes out there and calls him an asshole, whether he goes out there and says he has a tiny dick, or that Roman, he's going to be Roman Reigns is going to be his side chick. All of the things that Cody said in that promo tonight, that's all well and good, right? He's trying to get a pop. I just wanted to see him go out there and show some fire. I just wanted to see him go out there tonight and give it right back to The Rock, just like The Rock gave it to him. I wanted it to feel like more of a fair fight. And it did. And I got what I was looking for. And now we move on to SmackDown on Friday night, where there's no Rock. It's going to be Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, which, by the way, you could easily forget by watching the last few weeks of SmackDown, but that is the actual main event of WrestleMania this year. It is Cody Rhodes one-on-one with Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Championship. Let us not lose sight of the fact that that is the WrestleMania main event this year. We can finally get back to that on SmackDown Friday night. We're going to have champion and challenger face-to-face on the show. They used the segment tonight to help promote the fact that the two of them are going to be having a bloodline-free face-off on SmackDown this Friday night. Free of The Rock and every other member of the Bloodline. And that's important because it comes at a time when not only has Cody felt like he's been upstaged by The Rock, but Roman Reigns feels like he's been upstaged by The Rock. And Roman Reigns is the champion. Roman Reigns is the one that is going out there for 3 years plus to defend his title. And he feels like background noise going into WrestleMania. That has to change on Friday night. Cody went out there tonight. He did what he needed to do. We also had in the main event tonight a women's match. It was a last woman standing match between Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. Becky Lynch is going out there and trying to prove to herself that she is better than Rhea Ripley. And so she's going out there. She's not taking a back seat. She's wrestling Liv Morgan. She's wrestling Nia Jax. And tonight in the main event, those two women put each other through hell. I mean, they took some hellacious bumps in that main event. I give a lot of credit to Becky Lynch. I give a lot of credit to Nia Jax. Nia in particular. Towards the end of that match, she took a couple of hellacious bumps on the outside of the ring. Nia Jax took a fucking rock bottom, a manhandle slam, off the apron through a table. And then she took a leg drop from Becky off of a ladder. And if you go back and you watch that spot, she took a hard bump there, did Nia, through that table. So I give her a lot of credit. I thought those two women went out there and they had an excellent main event. You know, it was your typical WWE-style hardcore match. There are limits to what they can do. But I thought they made the most of the elements, and I thought that if this was their way of blowing off this feud, and I fucking hope it was. I mean, if you can't blow it off in a last woman standing match, then I don't know what the hell we're doing here. It felt like a blow-off, and I thought that it was an appropriate way to blow off that feud. So we had Cody's promo. We had the main event. We had a contract signing with Gunther and Sami Zayn for their Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania. We had not one, not two, but three ladder matches, qualifying matches, to determine who would go on to WrestleMania to challenge for the Undisputed Tag Team titles. Qualifying matches are always a very smart way, very easy way to fill television time with matches that have something tangible on the line. We got three of them tonight. And we also had, like I said, other segments on the show that didn't really feel like filler. Everything felt like it had a place on the show tonight. And it was a very, very strong episode of Raw. See, despite Green Man at the beginning, like I told you, I actually thought tonight was a positive episode of Raw. Not a negative episode. There you go. See, I swerved you. This is your Monday Night Raw review. It is March 18th, 2024. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for joining me here. I should also mention to you, kind of off topic here, but I did talk about it on the Sound Off yesterday. Triple H and Josh Barnett reached an agreement to send at least one WWE star to his Bloodsport show in Philadelphia WrestleMania weekend. Shayna Baszler is going to be wrestling for Bloodsport. We just didn't know who her opponent was going to be. We found out tonight, not on this show, but we found out online. They didn't mention this on the show tonight, but we did get news broke during Raw that Shayna Baszler is going to be wrestling Masha Slamovich at Bloodsport. So we are getting WWE against TNA at Bloodsport WrestleMania weekend. And there could potentially be other names announced for the Bloodsport show as well. But right now, so far, it is only Shayna Baszler. So that is who Shayna is going to be stepping into the ring with. How was my St. Patrick's Day? My St. Patrick's Day was very busy working for you. My St. Patrick's Day was pretty much almost exclusively recording the podcast and putting out episode 853. And Mr. Singh, I enjoyed Raw. And look at this. Mr. Singh is in the chat bitching about me after I just said positive things about Raw. You can't win with some people. What can I say? So let's get into this show. They showed Cody Rhodes arriving to the building earlier in the day, but he had a guest with him. Cody did not show up alone. Cody had a very special guest with him at the show tonight. And that special guest, as you can see here, was Pharaoh. Pharaoh the Wonder Dog, and if you'll notice, the scarf that Pharaoh has around his neck says, Rock is a cat. Because, you know, Rock has made some comments about Pharaoh. He's made some very nasty remarks about the pup, and so this was Pharaoh's revenge. Rock is a cat. I love how The Rock is feuding with Cody, Cody's mom, and Cody's dog. while Roman Reigns is sitting at home on his lazy boy eating Cheetos. At least he's coming back to work on Friday for SmackDown. Jey Uso was the first one out to the ring tonight to kick us off as Michael Cole hyped up his match with his brother coming up at WrestleMania. And he pointed out that WrestleMania this year, this will only be the third time in the history of the show that we have gotten a brother versus brother match. Bret versus Owen, obviously being the first at WrestleMania 10. We had Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. I want to say that was WrestleMania 25, I believe. And so now we are going to get Jimmy and Jay. The disrespect for Kane and The Undertaker. It's terrible. Jay got in the ring. He said he knew that his brothers were in the building and he called them out. And sure enough, we saw Jimmy and Solo Sikoa. They made their way through the crowd. They hopped over the barricade and Jimmy got into the ring. So now we had brother and brother in the ring together. Jay said that he and Jimmy always get into it and they always snap out of it. But this felt different. And he told Jimmy that despite everything that's happened, I miss you. I do. Said, I miss you. Oh. And Jay said that, look, we don't see each other anymore. And he asked Jimmy to come back. Come back to me. Jimmy said he never left. He said that he protected Jay and it was Jay's idea to leave the bloodline. Jimmy said that Jay went off and he became the top star on the Raw brand. He became the top merch seller. And even a tag team champion without him. And Jimmy said that Jay forgot him. He said the biggest moment of Jay's career is because of him. So Jay said, no, the biggest moment of my career would be my dream match at WrestleMania 40. Me versus you, when I knocked the yeet out your ass. And he dropped Jimmy with a punch. There was a distraction by Solo Sikoa that allowed Jimmy to knock down Jay with a super kick. And just when all looked bleak for Jey Uso, here comes Cody Rhodes. No music. Cody Rhodes comes out, makes the save. He hits Solo with a Cody Cutter, wearing his fancy clothes and his $1,000 shoes. And then he helped Jay to his feet. I thought it was a nice touch for a change, having the babyface not wait until his theme music hits to come out and save his friend. So that was nice. Jimmy, I thought Jimmy was really good here. You know, Jay gets a lot of talk because he is doing the singles thing on Raw, and his promos have come a long way. I was talking about Jay last week on one of the streams, and I mentioned the fact that he's a very shy guy, and not the Uso who I thought, if they ever split, would have the greater success as a single. I always thought it would be Jimmy. I thought Jimmy as a heel would excel one. And some people might say that he is now. Some people get a kick out of him and his character now. But Jay is the one who has gone out on his own. And like you said here in this promo, he's one of the top merch sellers in the company. I think if Jimmy, or Jay rather, if he went out there and he won the Intercontinental title, if he won the United States Championship, nobody would be surprised. Nobody would bat an eyelash. The fans would be behind him. Could he be a world champion one day? Probably not. But he's got a lot of fans out there. So he's been the biggest beneficiary of this bloodline story going back 3.5 years. All of that is true, but Jimmy, I thought, excelled on the mic tonight. He showed a side of him as far as his promos. Like, when he gets serious, we saw that there's something there with Jimmy Uso. And I said it last week, as far as what do you do with these two at WrestleMania, where do you position them, which night? We have both world title matches are taking place on night two. WrestleMania Sunday, we've got Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight title. And we have Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns for the WWE Championship. Seth and Drew are very likely going to open the show. So what I would do is I would have Jimmy and Jay open night one. Let those guys kick off WrestleMania this year in the opening match. Let them go out there. A hot match. Because you know whatever gets that opening match is going to be a hot match. I mean, wasn't it John Cena and Austin Theory, I think, right? Didn't they open WrestleMania Night 1 last year? I think it was Cena and Theory on Night 1, and then I think it was Brock and Omos. Whatever happened to Omos, I don't know, but I think it was Brock and Omos, right, who opened Night 2. That's what I would do. I would have Jimmy and Jay go out there, and this is a match that both of them have wanted at WrestleMania for a very long time. So these two are going to have their working shoes on. I know this whole brother versus brother thing can be hit or miss. I was never a big fan of it with Matt and Jeff. I just didn't work for me. Brett and Owen was fantastic. These two are not Brett and Owen, as far as them going out there and having a, you know, a 20-minute technical masterpiece. But these two can go out there, I think, and can have a very good match. And that's exactly what they are going to want to do, because they have wanted this for a very long time. So that's what I would do. Now, when this segment was over, it looked to me like they were setting up for a tag team match. Like we were going to get Cody and Jay against Jimmy and Solo either at the end of the show, or they were going to announce it for next week. They did not do that. So maybe we're not going to get it on TV. I know they're doing it at some of the house shows, but they did not announce anything with those guys as far as TV next week. Adam Pearce in the backstage area was... Omos has vanished. How exactly does someone the size of Omos vanish? Can somebody explain that to me? He's vanished. He's the biggest guy on the roster. How does he vanish? Not that I'm complaining. It's just that as I said his name before, I just realized, oh shit, where's he been? Where's MVP and Omos? I haven't seen them. Adam Pearce was in the back having a heated conversation on the phone with someone when he was approached by Paul Heyman. And Heyman assured him, look, what happened just now with Jimmy and with Solo, I did not authorize that. I can assure you that the final boss, The Rock, and the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, neither of them authorized it. And he assured Pierce that on the word of Roman Reigns, Jimmy and Solo are gone from the building. You will not see them again for the rest of the night. And maybe for the first time in his career, Paul Heyman was a man of his word. We did not see them again for the rest of the show. But he also assured Pierce that he was only there on official business. And he hinted that everybody was going to be caught off guard by what happens later tonight. We had our first of three qualifying matches for the Tag Team Championship ladder match coming up at WrestleMania. It was DIY taking on the Creed Brothers. And Michael Cole noted that DIY have never had a WrestleMania match. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa have probably been in WWE, and mostly with the NXT brand, but how many years have they been now with WWE? Has it been 10 years? If it's not 10 years, it's probably pretty close, maybe 7 or 8, that they have been officially under WWE contract. And it took them longer than it probably should have to get that call up to the main roster. And now they're here. And for the first time ever, they had a chance to wrestle a match at WrestleMania, which is pretty crazy when you consider how many years they have been around for, that they've never had a WrestleMania match. The moment that Michael Cole said that and was pushing that narrative, it made it pretty clear to me who was going over in this match. Because he didn't say that about the Creeds. He was just focused on DIY. If they win here, they can get their first match at WrestleMania. This got off to a slow start. The building was very quiet, but boy, did they get these people into this by the end here. Some pretty innovative spots from the Creeds. They would have a hold, like a submission hold on one of the members of DIY. And then here comes the other member of DIY, and he would grab him and take him over in a Northern Lights and have like a double move applied. Like really pretty cool shit here, especially from Julius Creed. The Creeds hit suplexes on both of them and then did back-to-back standing moonsaults. Julius picked up a two count on Tommaso Ciampa. The match spilled outside. Brutus shoved Ciampa over the announce desk, which led to Pat McAfee celebrating with him. Ciampa hit White Noise from the middle rope on Julius for a near fall. Ciampa went for a discus shot, but Julius headbutted his chest and then applied an ankle lock. Yeah, you mentioned White Noise there, and I thought, boy, you know, we're heading into WrestleMania here. Less than 3 weeks away. We're not that far out from WrestleMania. No Sheamus on the card this year. No mention of him. Doesn't look like he's going to be on the WrestleMania card this year. We'll leave that alone. So Gargano tried to break things up here. There was an ankle lock applied by Julius. Gargano tried to break it up. Julius powerbombed him while he was still holding on to the ankle lock. Now, he did have to let go to complete the move. I was wondering, how is he going to do this? How is he going to do both? Creeds then both applied ankle locks. Ciampa teased tapping before he and Gargano countered into their submission finishers. The Creeds escaped and then hoisted up Gargano and Ciampa and threw them at one another. Julius and Brutus, they hit back-to-back moonsaults on Ciampa, who kicked out at the last minute. So Julius tagged in, and the Creed set up for a Brutus ball. But Ciampa rolled Julius into a pin that Brutus broke up. Gargano then tossed Brutus out of the ring, and then he super-kicked Julius, who went backwards. That reversed the pin to where Tommaso Ciampa had him pinned, and he got the three count to win it for DIY. This was a lot of fun. This match turned into a lot of fun. DIY, when this match was over, really felt like they had to earn their way into this ladder match. It was a very competitive match between these two teams. It's sad there had to be a winner and a loser because they both look great, especially the Creeds. And I'm very happy that Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa are both getting their first WrestleMania match. I don't know if they're going to win. I still am looking at that ladder match, whoever the final teams end up being. And we are looking at a situation, I think, where R-Truth is going to leave with gold at WrestleMania, I do believe. Unless, of course, they do a thing where the titles split and we get champions on one side, champions on another, then maybe DIY has a shot. Whether they win gold or not, the fact that they're going to go to WrestleMania is very cool. And the only bad part is that the Creeds will not be there with them. I wish there was a way to get the Creeds in there somehow, like some kind of last chance qualifier. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case. And that's really the only thing about it that I think is sad. I would love to see the Creeds in that match. You know, Julius Creed, he's like an athletic marvel, the things that he does. And it's not as if the Creeds have been called up on the main roster for very long. So just imagine 2 years, five years from now, where these guys are going to be. And I keep mentioning Julius in these situations. Brutus is very good too, but Julius is the one where I look at these guys and I say, okay, who has the potential to branch off and be a top-tier player in this company down the road? Like, who has the athletic gift and the charisma and the fire? It's Julius. You know, he pulls down the straps when he goes nuts sometimes in these matches with the suplexes and everything. He's a lot of fun to watch. And the power spots and the stuff that he does, it's going to take him a very long way. Now, backstage, the Judgment Day, I guess they were in their clubhouse, you would say. But Andrade was there. And Dominic was there, and Rhea Ripley was there. So Dom was back from his honeymoon. Finn Balor was there. And Andrade is going to have to impress these people. They're scouting him. Remember, they got their eyes on him. Dominic told them all, look, this guy, he could be a valuable asset to the Judgment Day. And Finn Balor said the same thing. So it's sort of an evaluation period for him. They said Andrade is going to have to impress them because this club is exclusive. And Balor hears that Andrade has a match next week. They are going to be watching him. Andrade says, I'll see you then. He puts his glasses back on. He turns to go leave. And he bumps into Damian Priest. And so the two of them share a little moment together. Very brief. So Andrade leaves, and Priest points out that Ricochet made a fool out of JD McDonagh last week. And so tonight, Dominic is going to make things right by wrestling Ricochet. And as I said, that really is the only thing that felt like filler on this show, as compared to everything else. Which is not bad for a three-hour show, if that's the only thing that felt like filler. Now this next match, you might say this was filler, but it's 2 minutes long. This next match literally went 2 minutes long. It didn't take up very much time at all, and obviously they have a story direction for Candice. It was Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell taking on Caden Carter and Katana Chance, the former women's tag team champions. I should note, on the subject of women's tag team champions, that unfortunately, Asuka is hurt. When we talked about SmackDown on Friday night, I mentioned the fact that Asuka was limping at the very end of the show. And I couldn't tell how it happened. I don't think it happened on any particular move. I think it was a completely fluky thing because 1 minute she's on the outside shadow boxing and bouncing up and down on the outside of the ring, She wasn't even wrestling. The next minute, she's hobbling around. I said, oh my God. Hopefully she didn't suffer a serious injury. Hopefully she just rolled her ankle and it's not too bad. She's been pulled from the house shows until they get a better handle on what the injury is. We don't know what it is. Again, hopefully it's nothing serious, but the fact that they pulled her from those matches is not a good sign, especially this close to WrestleMania. Because even if it is something that's not significant, we're close enough to WrestleMania now that it could impact whatever plans they had for them, which I assume were one of two things. Either the Kabuki Warriors defending the women's tag team titles against Bianca Belair and Naomi, or a six-person tag with Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota Kai taking on Bianca, Naomi, and possibly Jade Cargill. Now, if they need a substitute for Asuka, you've got Dakota Kai. You can always slip her in there. She could take her place, Freebird style, and she could tag with Kairi. It's not the end of the world. But for Asuka's sake, hopefully she doesn't have to miss WrestleMania this year. So that's the update on her. Neither team got an entrance. Instead, we did got footage of last week, Candace berating and bullying Maxine. She was being mean to Maxine last week. And then there was a randomly bringing up Maxine's dead brother. You're so awful. You should be thankful your brother is dead and he can't be around to see you, is basically what she said. Where that came from, I have no idea. But the whole gimmick here now is that Candice LeRae is now a mean girl. She's showing her mean side. That's the story. This did not go very long. Like I said, this went $2. $2. Looking at the super chats here. 2 minutes. Yeah, this went $2. This match was worth about $2. Katana Chance sold a knee injury on a bad landing, which really was just her. It wasn't even anything that she did. She basically kind of went up and over. And when she landed, she sold it as if she hurt her knee. So she went down. The referee checked on her. The referee backed Indy Hartwell away from her. And Indy had a concerned look on her face. And she went back to her corner. And Caden Carter jumped down from the apron and went over to check on her partner. Well, Candace tags herself in. Candace is not waiting around. She gets into the ring. She hits a sliding drop kick. That takes out Caden Carter. She immediately grabs Katana's leg and wraps it. She wrenches it around the ring post. She dives back into the ring, and she applies a submission hold on the leg, where it looks like she, where it looks like she is wrenching this woman's leg, and Katana immediately taps. I'm not laughing at poor Katana Chance here. $2 productions, says Ted Evans. I'll tell you what, you know, Rock has $7 productions. The way that he's been treating Cody and Seth are jointly running $2 productions over the last few weeks. After tonight, at least, Cody is running $4. He's doubled his money, at least. Now he's working his way up. Anyway, poor Katana Chance taps out, and Candace and Indy pick up the win. After the match, Hartwell looked very surprised by Candace's actions. Candace went over to check on Katana, asked if she was okay before flashing a smile. This was a better way than what they did last week of establishing Candace's new attitude. My only issue with it is that this new attitude change, it came out of nowhere with nothing to build to it. And if the story here is that Candace LeRae is just frustrated because she keeps losing and she is being overlooked and she is being lost in the shuffle, then tell that story. Have her, you know, whether it be in backstage segments, whether it be a promo that she cuts, even on social media, you know, let her do something like that to at least build to this point. It just sort of came out of nowhere. That's my only issue with it. And the segment last week, again, you know, it wasn't even that she brought up the fact that Maxine's brother or had a brother who passed away many years ago. Look, I mean, that's fine if they want to bring that up in the storyline, but the way they did it, it's like, where the hell did that come from? You know, it was just, and the way they did that whole angle, it was just stupid. It was a stupid way for that match to end. They replayed the Rock concert from SmackDown on Friday night, and him issuing a threat to Mama Rhodes, talking about Cody's mom, telling her that she's going to watch her baby boy get whipped like a dog at WrestleMania. Then they showed Cody Rhodes backstage getting ready to come out to the ring to respond. Cody went on Twitter 2 minutes before this, and he tweeted an apology for what he was about to say. So, of course, I got the eyeball emoji. I'm like, ooh, I wonder what this is going to be like. Right? No crying from Cody this week. So Cody comes to the ring. Big pop for Cody on his way out. And he said, for the second year in a row, he will challenge the undisputed WWE champion Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania. Called Roman the greatest champion in all of sports. And this Friday on SmackDown, he and Roman are going to have a little conversation. But there are other complications. There are other factors. There are other elements. Combustible elements. Namely, The Rock. Rock took to Instagram last week, he said, and followed up with an entertaining rock concert. Too bad he didn't want to be here tonight. So, throwing some shade at The Rock not showing up. They did mention, by the way, Rock is going to be on Raw. It's amazing. Rock is actually going to show up on Monday Night Raw, and all it took was him coming here to New York. Say, it's just something about New York. It brings everybody out, except me, because I'm not sitting through 3 hours of Raw live in the building that night. I'll be here with you. But The Rock is coming to the Barclays Center. Raw is coming to Brooklyn on April 1st. He will be on the show. That's the Go Home Raw to WrestleMania. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You ever go to the casino and only play the slot machines? Why only play the slots? You know, the big money is in all the other games. Why would you limit yourself like that? Well, watching Netflix without ExpressVPN is basically the same thing. Why limit yourself to only a fraction of the shows and movies that you can watch when you can use ExpressVPN and unlock so many hours of new content? It's true. Netflix has different content libraries for every country, but without a VPN, you're not getting the most bang for your buck. That's why you need ExpressVPN. It lets you change your location online to make Netflix think you live in one place when in reality, you're in a totally different place. With ExpressVPN, I've been watching episodes of The Office. And if you're a fan of The Office, you may not realize that you can't watch it anymore on Netflix in the US. It's not there. So in order to watch Michael and Dwight, I just opened the ExpressVPN app. I selected Canada as my country. I became an honorary Canadian. I didn't even need to file any visa paperwork to do it. I tapped one button to connect, and just like that, when I refreshed the page on Netflix, there it was. You realize how easy that was? You've got people sitting there banging their head against the wall when they realize they can't watch the show when all they had to do was go the VPN route. In a lot of cases, they just don't realize that it's even an option for them. Some of the things I love about ExpressVPN and why I use it are the super fast speeds, it's very fast, and how many different devices it works on. I can use it on my laptop, I can use it on my smartphone, I can use it on my smart TV, so I always have access wherever I am. They make it all very convenient. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/solomonster. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/solomonster to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/solomonster. But something he took from Rock's Instagram post, he referred to himself as our favorite heel. And Cody said, a little insider term. Because we're not dumb. We know what he means. He's the bad guy. He's known some heels. Bobby Heenan was a heel. Arn Anderson was a heel. Superstar Billy Graham was a heel. The Nature Boy. Ric Flair was a heel. Rock, I don't think you're a heel. I think you're an asshole. Cody bomb number one. There you go. That's Cody bomb number one right there. Getting down to Rock's level. Getting down in the gutter with The Rock. But Rock, don't get emotional. And he pointed out that Rock made fun of him getting emotional on Raw last week in the ring with Michael Cole. And then he brought up Rock getting emotional previously and crying about the reaction that he got when he showed up on SmackDown and was taking basically the spot that belonged to Cody, and it was going to be Rock against Roman at WrestleMania this year. And then, of course, all the fan reaction on social media and all the fan reaction in general came down, and Rock wasn't very happy about that. So he went crying to his friends at TKO, and the TKO folks said to him, "Yes, Rock, put on your Gucci shirt and show off your muscles and go out there and do your thing." He said, of course, the TKO people said yes to him because they are enablers. He said, "Rock is a lot of wonderful things. He's the man I used to watch when I was a wrestling fan as a kid." He goes, "He's the Brahma Bull. He's the Great One. A Mount Rushmore wrestler. But Rock, you are also a terrible salesman. You are a carny succubus." This is where Cody got a little too cute for his own being here. How many people immediately ran to Webster's when he said this? He goes, "For those who don't know what that means," which is probably 92% of the audience watching this show, "you are a whiny bitch." Why not just call him a whiny bitch? "Don't think for 2 seconds that this locker room needs you more than you need it. That's a rule of the business. Nobody is bigger than it." Another one he brings up, another point from last week. He goes, "I brought up my mom in an interview, so it's fair game for you to do so." Okay, I know your mom. And here's what I'll tell you about The Rock's mom. So was Cody going to throw some bombs at Ms. Maivia over here? No, because Cody is still the quintessential babyface. Cody Rhodes is not going to come out as the top babyface in this company going into WrestleMania and come out here and he's going to call Rock's mother names. He's going to call her what's he going to call her? Right? He's going to call her a whore? Like, what's he going to do? No! He said, "Actually, Rock's mother is a very lovely woman. She's a very nice lady. She is a salt of the earth lady. One time she helped me chop Kevin Owens in a dark match. Here's the thing. You were talking about whipping me. You were talking about a bloody weight belt, handing it to my mother. And normally someone as powerful as you, my mother would tremble. She would cower." He goes, "You don't know my mom. I was more scared than she was. This is the same lady who hopped off her chair at a Willie Nelson concert and beat up an undercover cop, okay? She ain't afraid of The Rock." I need to know more about that story, by the way. "I've been asked, April 6th, the biggest tag team match of all time, myself and Seth Rollins against The Rock and Roman Reigns. How will I get past that? Will April 7th be a fair fight? Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Hell, I don't know if I'm going to finish the story. But, Dwayne, what do you know? How can you be so sure of your own self? Because you keep forgetting you haven't been in the ring in years. And on April 6th, the bell is going to ring, and what happens when the bell rings? Well, hopefully Rock doesn't fall apart when the bell rings. That's the hope. Need I remind you, the last time The Rock was in the ring for a full-time match was 2013, and he tore almost every muscle in his body. So it's a valid question to ask what is going to happen to The Rock when he gets in the ring at WrestleMania. The fact that it's a tag team match is very beneficial to The Rock. Hopefully that will help avoid any of that." But he goes, "What's going to happen when the bell rings? Are you going to have all that big Dwayne energy? Or is it just going to be LDS, Little Dick Syndrome?" He goes, "You've referred to yourself as the final boss. And kudos to Brian Gewirtz." We got a Brian Gewirtz mention here. Kudos to Brian Gewirtz for that nickname. Said, "Perhaps you are the actual, literal final boss." By the way, before I go any further, I should mention that Brian Gewirtz had a response here. And I will read you Brian Gewirtz on Twitter, his response to Cody Rhodes: "Final boss isn't anything I came up with. The Rock calls himself that because he is that. If it makes you feel better, Cody, I was the first to tell him about your spectacularly stupid, goofy-ass dog." So that comes courtesy of Brian Gewirtz, who is now officially involved here in this storyline. He goes, "Perhaps I'm too naive to see that maybe you are the real final boss. But at WrestleMania, I don't think you're going to be the final boss. At WrestleMania, I think you're just Roman's side chick. Honestly, the way the storyline has gone so far, it feels the other way around. Right? The Rock is, I mean, come on. Let's be honest here. That's just the way it's been. So Paul Heyman interrupted. We weren't done yet. Paul Heyman interrupts. And Cody welcomed him into the ring. Heyman, though, he was a little nervous. He goes, I'm fine right here. He got up on the apron, but he stopped himself from getting inside. And he said he comes with a message from Roman Reigns. Talk about heels. You can think of me anything you want that's negative. Goes, me? I'm not a trustworthy individual. Roman Reigns is a tribal chief of his word. This Friday, Roman will go face-to-face with you, Cody Rhodes, challenger and champion, and when you go face-to-face, there will not be a single other member of the bloodline in sight. Except me. Except for Heyman. He goes, I'm no physical threat. But you have Roman's word. If you show up on Friday on SmackDown, Roman will show up alone. And Cody Rhodes accepted. Heyman said, I'm a bit jet-lagged, so forgive me, but I forgot one more thing. And the fans booed, and Heyman said, don't boo me. Don't boo me. Cody said, they're booing you, and I'm about to go full Homelander and rip your throat out. So he acknowledged it. He acknowledged the memes. I think that's the first time he's done that on TV. He's acknowledged the Homelander memes. Heyman said that if Roman Reigns shows up alone on Friday on SmackDown, Cody Rhodes, you show up on SmackDown on Friday alone too. And Cody slowly walked over to Heyman and he told him, deal. Put his hand out. Heyman shook his hand. And that was the end of the segment. You know, for all of the frustration that we have heard, because there was a report out from SC Scoops the other day, and then Meltzer, I know, expanded on it the other day. But originally it was from our friends over at SCScoops.com. And there was a report about the roster being very frustrated. That The Rock can go out there on his social media, and he can even go out there on television, and he can use profanity, he can drop F-bombs, fuck this, and shit, and asshole, and use all kinds of words. And get himself over that way and get a big pop, right, for saying that. But nobody else on the roster is allowed to do so. Or most other people on the roster are not allowed to do that. They don't have the same freedom that The Rock has. And I said this on the podcast yesterday. I said, well, first of all, not that they don't have a right to feel like there's a double standard going on here. There is a double standard going on here. Do you know why there's a double standard going on here? Because it's The Rock. And so this is not a new phenomenon here where you have a top star or a star coming in or coming back from the outside, whether it be The Rock, whether it be Stone Cold Steve Austin. If The Undertaker decided to come back, God forbid, something like that, they're always going to have a certain level of freedom on their promos that a lot of other people don't have. And whether you think that's right or wrong, that's just the way it is. I don't know why that would be such a surprise. But when it comes to Cody and Seth, that's the issue that I had with it. We had Seth come out here and he was dropping some just cringe stuff, right? The diarrhea Dwayne thing, and Cody's out there and he's crying and he's, you know, it's almost like he's holding back when he's responding to The Rock. And that's my issue with it, was you got to take the gloves off, at least on Cody Rhodes. At least with Cody, you got to take the gloves off. You got to go tit for tat. You can't have Rock up here and Cody down here. You have to at least give the perception that Cody and Rock are equals in this scenario. And they're not. Rock is clearly a bigger star than Cody is, as big as Cody has become. But you have to at least put them on the same level and the same platform going into WrestleMania, where Cody feels like he is as much a player as The Rock is. And he can give it right back to him. Whether that's him going out there and making reference to the XFL or making reference to Black Adam or making reference to something that would embarrass The Rock, right? Borrowing from something real that would embarrass The Rock, whatever it might be. We didn't get that on this show. Cody did not go out there. He did not mention DC Comics or Black Adam or the XFL or any of that. But Cody Rhodes went out there tonight, and he used some language that we don't normally hear him use here on these shows, right? He called him an asshole. He mentioned Roman as a side chick, little dick syndrome. I mean, that's all well and good, right? That's good for a pop. That's not the most important thing that happened here in this promo. I just like the fact that Cody Rhodes got a little bass in his voice. Cody Rhodes went out there, and he stared into the camera, and he had a fire in his eyes, and he gave it right back to The Rock. That's what he needed to do. And now Cody is going to go to SmackDown on Friday night in a Rock-free zone. We get back to what we are here talking about, which is Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. As entertaining as The Rock is, and I'm enjoying heel Rock, and I love that we got Hollywood Rock, the theme music, back on Friday night. I popped so big for it. I think Rock is going to go out there. I can only imagine the kind of entrance this guy's going to get at WrestleMania. Rock may end up having just the goated entrance all time at WrestleMania this year. You know how when Rock used to come out those 2 months, 20 years ago, to the Hollywood Rock theme, the one thing they did not include on Friday night was the opening intro with the helicopter in the background? How badass would it be if Rock actually showed up in a fucking helicopter at WrestleMania and they followed him into the building, right? He actually rides a helicopter into WrestleMania. I think Charlotte Flair did that 1 year, because her father did many years ago, rode a helicopter in. Rock is going to do something. He's got to do something like that for WrestleMania. And it may end up being the goated entrance of WrestleMania, right? But here we are, and we're talking about The Rock. We're not talking about the actual main event this year, which is Cody and Roman. Friday is a chance for them to get back to basics here and put the focus where it belongs, on the title, on the story, on the champion, on the challenger. That's really what it boils down to. That's the real main event this year. It's the night two main event of WrestleMania. And it's about time that we get back to that. Roman will be on the show Friday. Cody will be on the show Friday. No Bloodline, no Rock, no Seth. I'm looking forward to that segment because it's about damn time. We're getting awfully close to WrestleMania. It's about time we get back to Cody and Roman here. But this segment, I thought, was very good. I thought it accomplished what it needed to accomplish, which I was very happy to see. And as far as Paul Heyman coming out there, and earlier in the show, he said, I'm going to do something that people might not expect. I'm not sure what that was in reference to necessarily. I mean, I guess that was in reference to him saying that Roman is coming alone on Friday, but like, who cares? I don't know, he made it sound like he was going to swerve us and have some kind of weird announcement. I feel like that was sort of overselling what we ended up getting here. But I thought Cody was very good in this segment. Now, backstage, when Cody went to the back, Jey Uso came up to him and says, "You're going into SmackDown alone on Friday? You sure about this?" And Cody said, "I gave my word." Right? He's a babyface. He can't lie. I'm a man of my word. He's going to SmackDown all by himself on Friday. I went back, by the way, to listen to the language that Paul Heyman used in the segment when he said that there will be no bloodline out there with Roman. I wanted to go back and hear if he said none of the current like bloodline members, or because, again, we know Tama Tonga is waiting in the wings. We don't know if Tama is going to end up being involved in this or not. You know, the bloodline has said they consider him like family. They would love for him to be, you know, in the bloodline, in WWE one day. Well, now he's coming to WWE. So I was just listening to see if Solo and Jimmy and Rock maybe won't be there on Friday, but could we see a new bloodline member? But Paul Heyman made it very clear. No other member of the bloodline is going to be there except him. We had Ricochet one-on-one with JD McDonagh. Dom ate a springboard elbow and rolled to the floor. JD was out there, and he shoved Dom out of the way when Ricochet teased a dive. Ricochet followed up with a corkscrew plancha and rolled Dom back inside. When Ricochet tried to follow, McDonagh grabbed him. He distracted him long enough for Dom to catch Ricochet with a sliding kick. They went to commercial, and most of this match took place during the commercial break, so I wish I could tell you more about what happened here, but I didn't see it, so there isn't really much to say. For the finish, Ricochet kicked McDonough off the apron. Dom took advantage of the distraction, hit Ricochet from behind. Ricochet came right back with the recoil, though, and he scored the pin. After the match was over, McDonough went after Ricochet. Ricochet caught him with a kick, like a front face kick, and the momentum of the kick, he basically kicked off of McDonough's chest, and he flipped out over the top rope and landed on his feet on the floor. Ricochet doing Ricochet things. He ricocheted out of the ring. Backstage, Sami Zayn spotted Chad Gable in the hallway. And Chad Gable hauled off and he knocked the fuck out of Sami Zayn. No, he didn't. I imagine that. A little thought bubble popped out of my head and that's what I was visualizing this as. But that's not what happened here. He caught up to Chad Gable, who was just standing, just kind of randomly standing in the hallway in his suit. And Sami said, man, last week, our match, you know, great match, great job, could have gone either way. And Gable cut him off and said, yeah, it was great. Sami could tell something was bothering him, and he wanted to know what was on his mind. And Gable was like, no, and Sammy's like, no, what's going on? And Gable used his, it just means more to me. That's what he's been saying about WrestleMania. You know, possibly getting that match with Gunther, it just means more. That's his catchphrase. So he repeated it here. So this bothered Sami. And Sami said, look, you know, you're not the only one who has kids at home who depend on you and look up to you and cry when you lose. And Gable said he knows all that. And Sami said, then what? What is it? Tell me. And Gable told him, you can't beat Gunther. And he walked away. And Sammy's mouth was agape. His jaw dropped. He couldn't believe what he just heard. And they went to commercial. When they came back, Adam Pearce was in the ring for the contract signing for our Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania. He introduced Sami Zayn to the ring first, followed by Gunther. And Gunther said that he wants to establish what this is, the biggest and the most important contract signing for the biggest and most important match in the history of the Intercontinental title. So why then is this man, and he points at Sami, who's sitting there in his t-shirt, why then is this man dressed like a bum, like everyone in the audience? Isn't that one of the problems these days with wrestling? All the wrestlers, right? They look like the people in the crowd. They look like the fans. Come on, man. Of course, the crowd booed. They didn't like that. So Sami said that Gunther's smug smile was starting to piss him off. He goes, this is not just another day at the office for me. Respect to you. You've beaten everybody. And you've done it on your own. So you don't think that I can do it. You don't think that I can beat you. A lot of people have doubted me at many points throughout my career. At WrestleMania, I'm going to end the longest Intercontinental Championship reign of all time. So Sami signed the contract, and Gunther said, Sami, you should listen to your new friend Chad Gable, because he doesn't believe that you can beat me. The fans, they cheer for you, they like you, but they don't believe that you can beat me either. And when I look in your eyes, I know that you can't beat me either. So what you're doing here is you're begging for the beating of a lifetime at WrestleMania. So Sami, keep dreaming, because at WrestleMania, your dreams will meet reality. And with that, the champion put pen to paper. He signed the contract. He stood up. He went to go leave the ring. He was halfway out of the ring when Sami, who was still sitting down, told him, wait. And Sami spun around in his chair, and he said, you look in my eyes and you don't think I believe, huh? He got right up in Gunther's face, face to face, and he told him, look again. Get a good long look, because you are looking into the eyes of a man, of the man, that is going to take you down at WrestleMania. Sami stormed out of the ring. He went to the back. The camera followed him. through the curtain, through the gorilla position, into the backstage area, and he blew right past R-Truth, The Miz, and DIY, which is where the camera then stayed. They stayed on those four as they were preparing for, Miz and Truth were preparing for their upcoming qualifying match against Indusher. I thought that Sammy was going to storm off to look for Chad Gable. That didn't happen here, although that did happen a little bit after this. He did catch up with him later. We may as well skip to that now. Well, let me just say this. Let's talk about Sami Zayn here for a second. For Sami Zayn, the story that they're going with here is that he's the underdog. Nobody believes that he has what it takes to beat Gunther. Now, the same can be said for every other person that he has stepped into the ring with, from Drew McIntyre to Sheamus to Ricochet to The Miz to all the different people that this man has wrestled throughout this run that he has been on. Chad Gable as the Intercontinental Champion, okay? Because he's undefeated. He has not been beaten. He's not been pinned in a match on TV since he was called up to the main roster. The last person to pin Gunther was Bron Breakker in NXT. And that could very well one day end up being a WrestleMania match. Okay, that not this year and probably not next year, but down the road. But the story is that nobody believes that Sammy can get the job done at WrestleMania. Now, anybody in this situation is going to be the underdog. But as I said on episode 853, just yesterday, the issue I have with this is that Sami Zayn is coming off the biggest year of his career, right? He was a lackey in the bloodline for the longest time, but then he broke free. And he wrestled Roman Reigns in the main event of Elimination Chamber in his hometown. Main event, WWE title. He didn't win, but that was a huge spot for him. And from there, he went on to headline night number one of WrestleMania. He main evented WrestleMania. He ended the 600-plus day title run of the Usos, which is something, by the way, that I think is worth bringing up in one of these promos, because he's going into a WrestleMania match against somebody who has been Intercontinental Champion as of today for 647 days. So it's like, a year ago, I went to WrestleMania and I ended one historic run of 600-plus days. Now I'm going to WrestleMania for the second year in a row, and again, I am going to end another historic run of 600-plus days. That is how he should articulate that on TV. He's got 2 weeks left to do that. But he had a huge year last year. Sammy has always been like the perennial underdog here. How now can you look at Sami Zayn and say, this guy is the underdog? I mean, forget the fact that anybody in the ring with Gunther is going to be the underdog, but like, does anybody really look at Sami Zayn, who has been a headline guy in this company more often than not, and say that, oh, he's, you know, this guy can't win the big matches, he's the underdog. He headlined WrestleMania last year. You know what I mean? Like, it's a tougher sell than it would have been a year ago. And then I look at Chad Gable. That's the underdog. Chad Gable has not done anything of note in this company, realistically, not at a high level. He's never had the chance to go out there and have a big WrestleMania match. He's never had the chance to go out there and have a singles run as a U.S. champion, which would be perfect for him, or an Intercontinental champion or anything like that. And the story they were telling with him, and I got to do it for my daughter, like, that's the underdog story here. And so what they did was they went with the weaker of the two underdog stories. And that's my issue with this. I like Sammy. I'll get behind Sammy. Sammy and Gunther, honestly, one of the matches I am most looking forward to WrestleMania weekend. It's going to be great. But it's not the match that I wanted to see. It's not that. It's not the story that would have worked best. That would have been Chad Gable. And that was my issue. That's why so many people were upset. You know, Booker T went on his podcast and said that he talked to Sammy on the plane back after the show last week, and Sammy was genuinely upset when he saw what the fan reaction was online. He couldn't believe that all these people were so upset that he won and Chad Gable didn't. And it's like, dude, it has nothing to do with you. It's not that the people don't like Sami Zayn. It's not like, oh, the fans are fickle. The fans are not saying, fuck Sami Zayn. We hate Sami Zayn. Sami's boring. We don't want to see him. Some people might say that, but that's not what the majority of people are saying. They're just saying, man, you know, Sami's great, but Chad, man, this was his moment. This was his moment. We've seen Sammy have his moments. He's been the Intercontinental Champion, I think, three times before. Chad Gable's never done that. Chad Gable got made to look like a goof by Gunther after that last match and called him a terrible father and all that. Man, it should have been Gable. It's not that they dislike Sammy. But Chad Gable was, he was on the losing end of things in the Gauntlet match last week. We lost the better of the two underdog stories. But later on in the back, I said that he was looking for Chad Gable. Eventually, he did find him. He found Chad Gable in the back. And he just went over to him and he asked him why. Why? Why don't you think that I can beat Gunther at WrestleMania? And Gable said, with Gunther, it's not just physical, it's mental. He says, you've made your career out of being an underdog. You wait for the opportunity and you take advantage of that opportunity when it presents itself. He said, Gunther's on a different level. You're going to sit and wait for that window of opportunity to appear? Said, it doesn't happen with him. He's a different animal than you've ever been in the ring with before. If you don't change your mentality, you can't beat him. And he turned around and he walked away. I do love seeing the more serious side of Chad Gable. Alpha Academy is still a thing. But he's not out, you know, he's not in the back in his gear being goofy. He's back there in his suit. Honestly, I don't know why he was there. Because if you think about it, he didn't have a match on the show tonight. He wasn't out there later in the show with the Alpha Academy. He didn't have a promo. He's just standing around in his suit looking all pissed off. I guess that's what he was doing all day. Just kind of stewing in the back. But he walks off. And as soon as he walked off, I thought to myself, I wonder if he ends up being in Sammy's corner at WrestleMania. Almost like a voice of moral support. Almost like a coach, you know? Do we see Gable out there in his corner? Do we see him at WrestleMania in that capacity? When he says that you can't beat Gunther, does he know something that we don't? Is he saying that because he's going to make sure that Sami Zayn is not the one to beat Gunther? Because maybe now he's obsessed in his mind where it has to be me. It can't be you. Are we headed for a heel Chad Gable? I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I think it would be great if they kept Gable in the mix. I want them to include him in the mix in some way. If that's their idea to get him in the mix and do something meaningful with him, then I'm all for it. But there's such a great babyface story there with him. And I feel like if he kind of goes a little nutty and goes heel, you kind of squander that. But then part of me is also intrigued at the idea of having, you know, kind of heel-obsessed wrestling machine Kurt Angle, which is what, you know, he reminds me of. He reminds me of Kurt in many ways. And when Kurt became the wrestling machine many years ago, we could get a version of Chad Gable that's kind of like the 2005 wrestling machine version of Kurt, but without all the drugs. You know, Perk Angle, we get Perk Gable. We don't need Perk Gable. We have Chad Gable. I'm intrigued by that. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading a little too much into it. I would keep him babyface, but I don't know if this is going anywhere. Is he just going to be kind of a voice of moral support for this guy? Or do they have some kind of plan for Chad Gable at WrestleMania this year? It doesn't look like they do. And all those people last week who were like, oh, his shoulders weren't down. Maybe this week they'll turn it into a triple threat match. And I said, no, I think that's wishful thinking. It doesn't feel like that to me, that there was no acknowledgement of it. Gable did a whole promo on social media after the show, like a 5.5-minute interview with Kathy Kelly, where he was just sitting in front of his locker giving actually a very realistic post-match promo interview. He just answered questions like he really just was in a fight and he lost and he was very down on his luck. And there was no mention of the shoulders being up or anything like that. But I know some people were holding out hope. Maybe they would, you know, use that as a way to get him in there, but it was never going to happen. It was never going to happen, unfortunately. I'd rather it be a singles match anyway. The other thing I mentioned was, this could be a good thing, even though I really want a Gable in that spot. And here's why this may make sense. And I'm okay with them going with Sammy if this is the case. I don't know that they want to beat Gunther. I mean, there's a lot of people, there may be people in this chat right now who are like, you can't beat Gunther. You've got to keep him unbeaten until he wins the World Heavyweight title. Or let him forfeit the Intercontinental title at that point. Like, don't beat him. Some people believe he shouldn't be beaten. If he was going to work with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania this year, I would have to think that Brock was going to do the honors for Gunther, because otherwise that would be a massive mistake. So he may have been winning at WrestleMania regardless. Just because Brock got pulled from the show doesn't mean that the plans for him to go over are going to change too. So if Chad Gable qualifies and he goes to WrestleMania and loses again, that would be far worse. Because if they are ever going to circle back to Gunther and Gable, Gable has to win. I don't want to see him go to WrestleMania and lose for a fourth time. You don't put Chad Gable in that match at WrestleMania unless you're going to give people the happy ending. So maybe that's why they didn't want Gable in the match. I mean, we won't know for sure until we get to WrestleMania. As I sit here right now, I certainly don't think Sami Zayn is winning the Intercontinental title. I would not have Sami Zayn winning the Intercontinental title. That is not the finish I would do. I'm booking that show, and these are the matches I'm doing for WrestleMania. Gunther is going over. Period. End of story. Not even a question in my mind. Sami Zayn loses that match at WrestleMania. This week's episode is sponsored by Factor. You know, I can be picky about what I eat and the products that I use, services I use, but every now and then I get to try something new. I recently tried out Factor Meals for the first time, and let me tell you something, I do not regret my decision, okay? It's not just about eating food that tastes good, it's about eating good food that's dietitian approved and comes delivered fresh, never frozen, ready to go in just 2 minutes. Factor is a meal delivery service that ships fresh, ready-made, chef-crafted meals right to your doorstep. With over 35 options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Meals. In fact, one of those Protein Plus meals I've got my eye on from their menu this week is the cilantro chicken with brown rice and black beans. I'm a chicken guy. I'm surprised I don't have feathers growing out of me with all the chicken I eat. But that's just one of many, and they have more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. So give it a try. You can fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. They have tons of options for the entire day, including pancakes for breakfast, smoothies, and more. They're also flexible to fit into your schedule, no matter how busy you may be. You can get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals each week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor is the perfect solution if you are looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. I'm not a very good cook. If I had to cook a fresh meal for myself every day, I would starve, okay? All right? So it's nice to be able to have a fresh meal to heat up without all the hassle. And when you sign up, you save. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/solomonster50 and use the code solomonster50 to get 50% off. That's code solomonster50 at factormeals.com/solomonster50 to get 50% off. Now, we had another WrestleMania tag team title qualifier, this time with The Miz and R-Truth taking on Veer and Sangha. Guess who came? He's back. Look who they dusted off. Good old Indu Sher. Was this Jinder's first appearance since The Rock dropped him with a rock bottom and a people's elbow? Or maybe it wasn't a rock bottom. I think he gave him a spine buster. Spine buster and a people's elbow? Truth was going to start the match. He immediately tagged out when he saw Sangha. Or Sangha. Yeah, they go back and forth so many times. Like, Adam Pearce did this great intro for Gunther tonight. He called him, like, the ring general. He goes, Gunther! And then as he's coming down to the ring, Michael Cole says, Gunther. I say Gunther, I get yelled at. Like, just say it however the fuck you want to say it. I can call him Walter. How about that? Now, shut the fuck up. But here, Sangha and Sangha, I've heard them say it both ways, between NXT and the main roster. So I will call him Sangha. Always makes me think of the coffee. Sangha. Even though I don't drink coffee. So they beat up Miz for a little bit until he made a hot tag to Truth, who did the John Cena comeback sequence on Veer. Truth put Veer in the STF. Sangha, though, broke it up. Miz and Truth, they hit Sangha with a double dropkick before giving Veer a combination skull-crushing finale and flatliner. So Veer is down, right? He just got hit with a double finish. Sangha shoves Miz to the ropes. Miz drops Jinder Mahal outside with a, I think it was like a dropkick. Truth tried to go after Sangha. Sangha delivered a back elbow. And it knocked Truth backwards, but what he didn't realize is Truth collapsed on top of Veer. And so now he's covering Veer. The referee drops down because he was still down from the double combo. Truth is on top of him. Referee counts three, and Awesome Truth are going on to WrestleMania to the surprise of no one. Did you honestly think that Veer and Sangha were going to WrestleMania and R-Truth was not? Nobody was thinking that. Now, earlier, I mentioned DIY and the Creeds and how DIY felt like they were in a war. And they earned that win over the Creed brothers. This was not that. The way Miz and R-Truth won this match was the complete opposite of that. But a win is a win. And so they are going to WrestleMania. And no surprise there. Truth has got to win gold, man. This whole Judgment Day thing and the heat with him and Damian Priest and everything like that. I mean, this has been tailor-made to put some gold on R-Truth, who's been one of the most over stars they've had since he came back from the torn quad. This guy's he's one of the top stars in the entire company. His shirt was number one there for a while. We got a quick CM Punk video package showing him rehabbing his latest injury. And he said, "Do I plan on being at WrestleMania?" He said, "What are the first four letters in Philadelphia? Phil." So yeah, you can't have WrestleMania without Phil. So he'll be there. Now we know that he will be at WrestleMania. And not only will he be at WrestleMania, he is going to be on Raw in Chicago next Monday. Drew McIntyre was on his way out to the ring. He made it halfway down the aisle when Seth Rollins' music hit and the champion danced his way out. He danced right past Drew and he got into the ring and Rollins apologized to McIntyre and said, "I didn't see you there." And he said he was busy soaking up the spotlight. McIntyre said he wanted him to enjoy it because the spotlight would be his after WrestleMania. So Rollins thought that McIntyre was stupid, and he has said a lot of dumb things over the last few weeks, but he had to admit there was one thing that McIntyre said that actually was correct. And Rollins raised his arm, he put his hand up in the air, and he said, "My name is Seth freaking Rollins, and I am a spotlight junkie." Because that's what Drew called him. Drew called him a spotlight junkie. McIntyre said, "You know, everything is just a joke to you, right? Everything's one big joke to you. And you're just a parody of yourself." Some fans did the "what" chant. And McIntyre said, "Thank you. Every time you say what, that means that you're reminding everybody that I took out CM Punk." And he said, "The punchline is, when I beat you for the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania." That's the punchline here. So there was a CM Punk chant that started. McIntyre said Punk would be there next week, but he would never show up at a place like Rally. You want to get heat there, you call it Rally. Now, I believe it is either Raleigh or Raleigh. I think it's Raleigh, right? It's Raleigh, North Carolina. I know you don't call it Rally. That's when you get heat, like he did here in this segment. So don't call it that. So when the fans booed, McIntyre looked into the camera and he said, "See, the fans are booing CM Punk." Said he has to leave his couch to go to the show in Chicago next week just to justify his big contract. Who do you think got the bigger contract, by the way? I wonder. Honestly, who do you think got the bigger money contract? CM Punk or Mercedes Moné? Tony Khan throwing a lot of money around, so there's no telling how much he gave her. I wonder who got the bigger deal, if it was Punk or Mercedes. So Rollins cut McIntyre off and said, "It's not a joke to me. when you said I was a spotlight junkie, says that he's been doing this for 20 years. And going through the curtain is his fix that gets better every single time. Kind of reminded me of Eddie Guerrero in the promo before he wrestled Brock Lesnar at No Way Out, where he talked about being an addict. Being an addict for this, being an addict for the fans, and what a great promo that was. Rollins said the same of when he leaves it all in the ring, and when the fans chant his song so long, he can hardly speak. He said he knows McIntyre has been busy on Twitter, and he really hasn't been listening to him. He said on night one of WrestleMania, he would take the biggest star in Hollywood and his side chick and make them his bitches, and then the spotlight would be on him and Drew McIntyre. McIntyre said, this is the Rollins that I want to see. He said Rollins made the title the Workhorse Championship and the Wrestler's title. He said Rollins had him until he mentioned the spotlight. And he asked why the hard work can't be the reason that we're getting the spotlight. Why does it have to be about all this other stuff? Why can't it just be because we put the work in? McIntyre said all he cares about is Rollins making it to the ring of WrestleMania. If he has to carry him down to the ring on WrestleMania Sunday himself, that is what he will do. He said that he is going to get the moment that he deserves. He is going to get the moment, not that he deserves, but that he has bloody earned. Rollins said McIntyre wants the spotlight just as bad as he does. He said McIntyre has been itching for it since he won the title for the first time in 2020 in an empty warehouse. He said McIntyre has been whining and complaining that he deserved better. Rollins said the problem is that when everybody came back around, when the lights came on again, lights got bright, McIntyre fumbled the ball. Rollins said that's the difference between them because he shines bright in these situations, and he said that McIntyre will find out when the lights shine brightest that he is not as good as he thinks he is. Well, I said last week that Drew has been dropping CM Punk's name even more than usual recently. And there's got to be something in mind for CM Punk at WrestleMania. We now know that CM Punk is going to be at WrestleMania. And the fact that he is getting a mic next week, we'll probably see Drew McIntyre come out. We'll probably get a little promo battle between them. I don't know how they get there. If it ends up being a situation where he becomes the referee for the match. Again, I could just as easily see him at ringside doing commentary for the world title match. There would be intrigue there, though. If he can physically be referee for the match, it would be interesting, because not only is Drew the one who's been talking smack about him, but it's not like he and Seth are best friends. Seth doesn't like him, he doesn't like Seth. Drew doesn't like him, he doesn't like Drew. Right? He's got a lot of people that don't like him. So really, him being referee, you know, it creates a little bit of intrigue, I suppose, if they wanted to go that route. I don't know exactly what role they have in mind for him, but now we know that Punk will be at WrestleMania. We just have to wait and find out doing what. Or maybe they'll just stick him on the pre-show. They'll stick him on the pre-show doing pre-show stuff with Pat McAfee. Who knows? That's what they had him doing, I think, in Vegas, right? For the WrestleMania press conference. It was Punk. Was it Punk, Big E, and McAfee? I believe so. We had our last of three tag team qualifying matches for the ladder match at WrestleMania. It was the New Day taking on Otis and Tozawa out there representing the Alpha Academy. Tozawa brought Xavier Woods down off the top with a Hurricane Rana, followed with a gigantic diving senton onto Woods, but Kofi Kingston broke up the cover. The height that Tozawa gets on these diving sentons is super impressive. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world, so he can get more height than most. But man, I mean, he gets up there. And I don't know if I had to venture a guess. I mean, when you are standing on the top rope, and it depends on how tall you are, right? Because if you're 5'7", it's going to be different than if you're a 6'4" guy climbing to the top rope. You know, or seven, well, look. Omos is not climbing to the top rope. But I'm going to say, when you climb to the top rope, probably looking at about 8 feet, right? 8 or 9 feet. You add in the distance that he gets, he's probably a good 10 to 12 feet up there, you know? And then that landing, but he doesn't win with it. You know, he doesn't actually win with it, but it looks tremendous every time he does it. So Kingston gave Otis a tornado DDT outside the ring. Tozawa tried a hurricanrana, but Woods blocked it and hit a spinning sit-out powerbomb. Woods followed with his diving rope walk elbow drop, connected with it, and that sends the New Day to WrestleMania. No surprise there. Kind of the same thing with Miz and R-Truth against Indusher. You go into it knowing who's going over. There's not a lot of drama as far as the finish, the match itself. Yeah, the match itself was fine. Nothing wrong with it. Some impressive spots, but obviously, the right team went over. You're not going to do a tag team title match at WrestleMania with six teams and leave out the New Day in favor of Otis and Tozawa. That's just not going to happen. So basically, the entire Alpha Academy gets the shaft at WrestleMania this year. Liv Morgan was in the back. She walked up to Becky Lynch as Becky was getting ready to head on out for her main event against Nia Jax. Nia Jax gets yet another main event. And yes, Big Show did do drop kicks off the top rope. Big Show did a Randy Savage elbow at a Survivor Series one year. Might have been 2011, actually. I think I was at that Survivor Series in Madison Square Garden. It was him against Mark Henry. If I remember correctly, he took forever. He was so petrified to even do the move. Probably because he's landing on his hip. Now he's got all kinds of hip problems. So we've seen some 7 foot guys go up to the top rope, but there's a reason why you're not supposed to be 7 feet tall climbing to the top rope, because it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. By the way, you know who put an end to Big Show doing stuff like that off the top rope? Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan saw him doing that. He goes, "I don't ever want to see you doing that shit again. You're a giant. Giants don't do drop kicks from the top rope." Probably good advice for his health. So Liv walks up to Becky. And Becky says, "Do I have to watch out for you tonight as well? Do I have to watch out for you again?" And Liv said, "Well, you should always watch me. But no, tonight was all you." Told Becky to go kick Nia's ass. As this was going on, you could hear yelling in the background from in the arena. It was Xavier Woods, and he was yelling at somebody. And I think what was happening was, I believe he was yelling at Pat McAfee, because at the end of the previous match, they do this kind of annoying thing where they'll focus on one spot or one move, and Pat will just do this annoying manic narration over it. Sometimes he has like his telestrator. He didn't have the telestrator. I think they broke it. But it was a spot during the match where Otis, he like stomached Woods, like he used his stomach as a weapon, and Woods was yelling at him like, "Man, I do that beautiful like diving elbow drop and you're showing that instead." Like, he was going off on him in the background, which was kind of funny. They showed Cody Rhodes in the back, and he was walking with his dog leaving the building, and he bumped into Seth Rollins, and Rollins said, "Friday, one-on-one?" And Cody said, "One-on-one," and he walked away. And then Rollins complimented the bandana that Pharaoh was wearing that said Rock is a cat. I guess, yeah, maybe the next step is Rock shows up on TV and kicks the dog. I don't know. What is Rock going to do now? Is he going to kick the dog? Is he going to kick Pharaoh? Because remember what happened to the dog going into WrestleMania 18. Remember Lucy the dog? Lucy the dog got run over by a car. The bitter divorce between Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. What a wonderful build to that match, huh? What a great main event that was. Great build. We had our main event, which was Becky Lynch against Nia Jax. Last woman standing. No pinfalls. Only way to win is to have your opponent unable to respond to the 10 count. And the first person who is unable to respond to the 10 count, the other person wins. In other words, your typical last man standing. So Becky threw a drop kick to kick things off. It actually hit Nia in the arm. Nia stumbled back into the corner anyway. Becky cleared her to the ringside area and then hit her with a sliding kick. Nia avoided something from the apron. She actually picked Becky up on her shoulders and slammed her backwards into the ring post and then into the barricade. Nia took a bunch of chairs and tossed them into the ring. She eventually caught Becky coming off the ropes with a chair shot and then worked her over with the chair. Nia followed up by hitting Becky with a kendo stick and then slammed her onto one of the chairs. Nia performed a leg drop and then told the referee to start his count. And Becky started to get up, so Nia hit her with some more chair shots. We had Nia place the chair over Becky's body, and then she sat down on top of her. And Becky was able to reach over and grab a kendo stick, and she started blasting Nia with it until Nia, she sought refuge outside the ring. Becky followed her and got caught with a shot, and Nia picked up the top part of the ring steps and hit Becky with it. Becky was able to recover after that. She DDT'd Nia on the flat bottom part of the ring steps outside. And the referee counted while Nia was down. She got back to her feet, though. Becky, meanwhile, is pulling a table out from under the ring. And that is when they very abruptly went to commercial break. I have to say this. Again, there have been a lot of little production things on the show that I've pointed out. Little production changes that might not mean a whole lot on their own, but I think taken together, it does give the show a bit of a fresher feel. I have not noticed the epidemic of camera cuts to the extent that we used to get them. For that reason alone, I am very happy to see new people in charge of production here on this show. Very, very happy to see that. So that's something that I have, you know, definitely noticed recently. But also these different camera angles, these new shots that they give us. But here we had, in this match alone, we had a couple of abrupt cuts to the commercial break. No warning or anything, they just went to commercial. And I can see where some people might find that annoying. I actually find it refreshing because I am sick to death of every single commercial break on this show. For years, it's the same thing. Can so-and-so get back into it? Not that they still don't do it, but like, can so-and-so get back into it? Raw rolls on. Raw rolls on. What is it, a ball? Is it a fucking ball? So the fact that they just kind of went to commercial, it was kind of jarring to me. I'm like, oh, that's something new. You know what? I kind of like it. It's different. Different is good. Small thing, but it's a lot of little production changes that you could tell this new head of production is implementing here on this show. Becky pulled a fire extinguisher out from underneath the ring and sprayed it in Nia's face. There was a table leaning up against one of the corners in the ring. Both women got back into the ring, and Becky charged at Nia. Nia grabbed her and hoisted her up in a Samoan drop position and then fell backwards. And Becky went crashing through the table that was propped up in the corner, courtesy of a Samoan drop. Nia then hit her annihilator finish on Becky in the corner, and then she got up. She played to the crowd, told the referee to count. Referee starts counting, and he gets all the way up to 9, and Becky, just through presence of mind, rolls out to the floor and happens to land standing on her feet. Even though she looks like she's out on her feet, she is technically up on her feet, so that broke the count. So Nia follows her outside, hoists her back up on her shoulders again, climbs the ring steps with her. Now they're on the apron. Now I should note that outside the ring in front of the announcers, like in that area, there was a table, and next to the announcers was a giant ladder. So I guess that was set up during the commercial break. So they're on the apron. Nia has her on her shoulders and has some evil intentions because there is a table directly below them. Becky fights out of it, and instead, Becky Lynch sends Nia Jax off the apron with a manhandle slam through the table. So Nia Jax takes a table bump off the apron to the floor. And it's not as if the padding outside on the floor is so thick, you know, that it feels like you're landing on your mattress, right? Anybody who takes a bump on the floor, I'm sure, will tell you that it doesn't feel very good. Let alone taking a rock bottom from the apron through a table. So that was a hellacious bump for Nia Jax to be taking here. And she was down. We got holy shit chants from the crowd. Nia did manage to make it back to her feet at 9 to keep things alive, and then she fell down again. Becky goes over to the ladder. She climbs the ladder. Nia stumbled around from behind the announce desk, and her body ends up draped over the announce desk, or like across the announce desk. And Becky comes diving off the ladder with a diving leg drop and puts Nia through the table with the diving leg drop. And actually, that bump, if you watch it back, was a pretty rough bump. But she went through the table. Everybody went crazy for the spot. The referee started his count. And Nia Jax could not respond to the 10 count. And Becky Lynch is the last woman standing nearly 20 minutes into this match. It was your standard WWE hardcore style match in many ways. We had the kendo stick. We had some chairs. They pulled out a table. Everybody said, yay! Fire extinguisher. You know, the usual plunder that you would see. But both these women made the most of the weapons and made their most of the stipulation. And I thought that these two put in a hell of an effort. Nia Jax in particular bumped her ass off here in this match. And Becky too. I mean, Becky also took some bumps. She took that Samoan drop through a table. Kudos to both women. I thought they had a excellent main event here. I enjoyed this match. And I thought it was a fine way for them to, hopefully, blow off this feud once and for all. It started at the beginning of the year when Nia beat Becky. And we had a match a few weeks ago. That's when Liv Morgan got involved, so it was still unresolved. It gave Becky Lynch something to do here on this road to WrestleMania. We don't see Rhea Ripley doing anything as far as wrestling. She beat Nia at Elimination Chamber. I don't know that Rhea has wrestled a match on TV since then. So the champion is kind of sitting back, watching all of this chaos and carnage unfold. Becky's going out there every week and killing herself because the storyline is that she's trying to prove to herself that she is better than Rhea Ripley. Now, I don't know how any of this proves that she's better than Rhea Ripley. If I were her and I wanted to prove that I'm better than the champion, I would rest up. I would be in training camp. I would be preparing for Philadelphia, right? Becky Balboa. I would not be wrestling different random people every single week and wrestling Nia Jax in Last Woman Standing matches. But this is the storyline that they've gone with here. Rhea Ripley came out. Big smile on her face. And she got into the ring, and they got face-to-face. The parting shot that took us off the air was Rhea and Becky face-to-face, nose-to-nose, talking smack to each other. And then they went off the air. A very strong episode of Raw. You really go down the list of things that were accomplished that we saw on the show tonight. We had that blow-off main event, right? Very good match, and that's the end of that feud. Cody had the chance to go out there and punch back at The Rock, which was long overdue and something that had to be done. Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, honestly, their segment was pretty paint by numbers. And I enjoy McIntyre. I'm loving the Drew McIntyre character right now. And if it were me, I'd put the title on him at WrestleMania. I mean, they may have Damian Priest cash in his Money in the Bank. He may walk out with that World Heavyweight title. But if it's me, I put that belt on McIntyre and give him a little bit of a run there. Their segment tonight, though, I can't say that there was a lot said that we haven't already heard them say. It kind of felt like they were spinning their wheels. It was fine for what it was, but not their strongest work. We had the contract signing for the Intercontinental title match. We see the story they're going with there with Sami Zayn. And we had 3 ladder match qualifiers for WrestleMania. So we had New Day qualify. We had DIY. And we had Miz and R-Truth. So let's see, what do we have? We have, obviously, Balor and Priest. We have New Day, that's 2. DIY is 3. Awesome Truth is 4. On SmackDown last Friday, we had Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate in what they're calling Bracket 1. They advanced. And who won Bracket 2? Oh, I forgot already. My God. I forgot who won Bracket 2. Who won Bracket 2? Remind me in the chat. And I believe those 2 teams are having a match now this Friday. And the winner will advance to WrestleMania. I believe that's how it's going to work. But I could be wrong. So that match is shaping up. to be a clusterfuck, because you're going to have six teams in a ladder match, and it can't be anything other than a clusterfuck. Legado, thank you. Yes. It was Angel and Humberto from Legado del Fantasma who are also moving on. So is it Angel and Humberto now, right? Are they wrestling? Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I'm wrong. We're getting two more matches on SmackDown this week, because I know AOP is in one. And I don't have the other one in front of me, so we'll see how those final spots fill out. No, I am not calling him Berto. They can chop off his name, and they can call him whatever they want. They can call him Berto. They can call him Bert. They can call the other guy Ernie, which is all I think of when I hear Berto. He is Humberto. That is what he is. That is what he will always be. How would you rate Raw for tonight? 61% give the show 4 stars. 25.5% 3 stars. Which means 3 stars and above, this show gets over 86% of the vote. Less than 6% give the show 2 stars, and almost 7.5% give tonight's show 1 star. A 1 star show? Really? Okay. Everybody's got their opinion, I guess. Here you go. Those are the results. Okay, we got the OC. No wonder I forgot. That's why. As soon as I hear OC, it immediately goes in one ear and out the other. No wonder I forgot. Yeah, it's OC against Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. And then AOP is in the other one. I know that. That's coming up on Friday. This Friday on SmackDown. OC. Oh, say, can you see that they are not going to have a match at WrestleMania? All right, let's get to your super chats. And before I scroll through this list, let's get to the early ones that came in before I went live that are not visible on this list, but I can see them. Let's start out here with our boy Josh. Josh Carlos, 98. Josh, what's going on, Josh? Just joshing around tonight. Josh says, buy, rent, sell, or discard as far as Mania Intercontinental title matches. HBK Razor, Gunther, Drew, and Sheamus, Piper and Hart, and Savage and Steamboat. So I have to buy, rent, sell, and discard. Isn't sell and discard kind of the same thing? I mean, am I wrong? Is that not basically the same thing? I'm going to buy on the... Man, it's tough. That's a tough one. I'm going to buy on the ladder match, because obviously that's a classic. I'm going to rent on... You know what? I'm going to rent on... It's tough, man. You put me in a tough spot here. I'm going to rent on the triple threat. I'm going to sell on Piper and Brett. And goodbye, Savage and Steamboat. Savage and Steamboat is gone. It's off the list. Josh also says, if Rock and Roman lose at WrestleMania, what is stopping the Bloodline from interfering in Seth's title match in Night 2? Tag match is only for the Cody and the Roman stipulation. Well, I think you just answered your own question. Nothing. Nothing is stopping them from getting involved in that match. We have got Prince Vegeta 95. How much of a blow is it to Triple H that none of the Undisputed Era guys ever made it big on the main roster in WWE? Since he built NXT for 3 years around them. I don't think it's like a blow in that it proved... I mean, what a blow in what way? Like a blow in that he pushed these guys hard and they never made the main roster? I mean, it's not a case where they didn't make the main roster because they didn't have talent. They didn't make the main roster because in some cases they left. Or requested to leave. Adam Cole was never going to be pushed by the Irish Madman. So I don't blame Triple H for that. But as far as it being a blow that they're not there, I think someone like Adam Cole not being there, he would have been a huge asset to the company. So it was a blow, but it's not a, like a mortal blow where the, you know, the company can't operate without these guys. Oh my God, what are they going to do without the Undisputed Era? They're doing just fine without the Undisputed Era. So it wasn't that big of a blow. I do think Adam Cole, though, would have been a big asset to that company. He's the kind of guy you want to have on your roster. Base Beer says, those nerds, candy avatars all look like Yoshis. Can't stand that commercial. Josh says, women headlining three straight major shows, Raw, SmackDown, and AEW. You know what? That's a very good point. I did not realize that. Josh makes a very good point. The main event of Dynamite, Big Business on Wednesday, was Willow Nightingale against Riho, right? It was Riho. Yeah, Riho. And we had SmackDown was Bayley and Dakota Kai. And then tonight was Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. You are correct. Interesting little trivia note there. Bender, Mick Simpson, Eddie Guerrero did the Addict promo way better than Seth. Oh, of course. Absolutely. I didn't say Seth. Who said Seth did a better job? I don't think anybody watching this show tonight would argue that Seth Rollins, that not even Seth Rollins would argue that Seth Rollins did a better job than Eddie Guerrero did. I mean, the Eddie Guerrero Addict promo is one of the all-time memorable promos in WWE history. This promo will be forgotten by Thursday. Nobody believes that tonight's promo was anything close to the Eddie promo. Base Beerus says, I like delicious chicken. That was a sign in the crowd. With flavor, he asks. I don't know. Maybe a dried chicken was at the show tonight. I don't know. We should ask him. Alex with the $9.99. Nice that I can start my spring break with a new episode of Raw and a great review after. Also, what is your favorite Hulk Hogan lie? Comes to us from Alex in Lewiston, Maine. My God, there's so many of them. You want me to pick one? I mean, I keep going back to the Metallica one. That's, and then Lars Ulrich's response when it was brought up to him. It might have been on Howard Stern, or I don't remember what show that they brought it up to him on. But you know what, though? I always get a kick out of the one about him once traveling 400 days in a year. Because of all the travel back and forth between Japan and the U.S. But, I mean, you could literally put a book together. Like Moby Dick would not be as long as the Book of Hogan Lies would be if it was ever put in book format. D.E.H. Sires. Becky and Rhea could be generational. Can we not? It's going to be great. I think Becky and Rhea is going to be great. Rhea and Charlotte last year was fantastic. But you know what I can't stand? I feel like I could turn this into like a recurring segment of all the things that just annoy me. About social media, just annoy me in general. I don't know how this trend got started. But I see it all the time on Twitter. And I avoid doing it because it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. But whenever there is a match coming up, or like a big feud, and it doesn't matter if it's WWE or AEW, you get all these people online that go, man, Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay is gonna feed families. Man, Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, it's gonna feed generations. No, it's not. The fucking match. The fuck does that even mean? It's gonna feed families. It's not feeding me. It's a stupid thing to say. I don't know who comes up with this shit. Feed families. Detective Tyler. Been listening to the podcast and the reviews for a while now, but have not had the affordability to donate until now. Thank you for everything that you do. Well, that's very kind of you. I appreciate that very much. I'm just happy that you are joining me here tonight. Wayne. Hey, Wayne is coming in with a $20 super chat. Look at Wayne. I think my final prediction for the World Heavyweight Championship is Punk tries to cost Drew. Seth hits the stomp, but then turns to Punk and tells him he doesn't need his help. Tries to mock him and go for the GTS, but Drew counters into a Claymore kick for the win. All right. Okay. I can see that. I can see that. I can see that. By the way, I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I literally threw those two matches out there as two examples of what I saw. I saw it immediately after the Danielson and Ospreay match was announced. Multiple times, in fact. From people that I don't even follow in some cases, but you go to the AEW Dynamite hashtag and the shit that you see, my God. It's gonna feed families. We're gonna feed everybody with this match. We're gonna feed families. We're gonna eat for years. The fuck up. Shut up. Right? Who comes up with this stuff? It's just stupid. I don't get it. I don't get it. Von Tell says, take Nia over Toni Storm in ring since Nia's return. Well, it might be considered a hot take. Nia has definitely improved over what we saw of her the last time she was in this company. I don't take that away from her. I think I said that much in the match with Rhea Ripley. I thought that was a fine main event for what it was, for what it was supposed to be. Right? Nobody thought that Nia Jax was going to win the title, but I thought they had a fine match. The real CSO2. Cody should do what Rock does and cut unscripted promos on social media. What's WWE going to do? Fire him? If anyone can get away with it, it's Cody. Yeah, but there's a difference. What you're talking about, I think what you're talking about, though, is him cutting promos with profanity. So there's a difference between doing, you know, unscripted promos and doing promos where Cody Rhodes is going to be in his backyard saying, hey, Rock, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't really fit the Cody Rhodes character. Cody Rhodes, he's like the John Cena of this era, right? That's how they look at Cody Rhodes. That's what Cody Rhodes is trying to be. Cody is for the kids. You see these videos every single week from these house shows of Cody. He's like reading fan signs. Oh, this person wants me to be the best man at his wedding. When's your wedding? June 25th. All right, I'll be there. Sure, why not? Right? He did this the other night. I don't know what city they were in. I think some kid was having a birthday party and he wants Cody to be at his birthday party. Big sign. When's your birthday party? All right, I'll be there. I'll be at your birthday party. Cody's going to be flying all over the country going to all these parties. Can't have Cody going out there saying, you know, kiss my ass, fuck off, eat shit and die. It doesn't really fit Cody Rhodes. It fits The Rock, but it doesn't really fit Cody Rhodes. And you know, part of the reason also is profanity is not what sells the promo. I also feel like people, they kind of look at it sometimes and they go, oh, he cursed. Burn! Well, it can be, but it's also cheap heat sometimes, right? Anybody can get a pop by cursing. If I was in the middle of the ring on TV on a PG show, and people were not used to hearing certain words, and I blurted out, you're a piece of shit, it's going to get a big pop from the crowd, right? Depending on who I'm saying it to. Because it's not the sort of thing that you hear, right? But it's cheap. Then you have people who don't have to do that sort of thing. Right? They don't pepper their promos with profanity, but they can go out there and they could still get that kind of reaction from the crowd even without it. That's when you know you've got somebody who knows how to cut a great promo. Alright, that's almost more impressive to me. And Rock doesn't have to do it. He does it because he wants to. It's The Rock. And you know what? It's funny when he does it. When he's mocking Cody and saying, oh, I'm shut the fuck up, right? It's funny. But, you know, you don't want to lean on it as a crutch. Just because Rock is using profanity doesn't mean Cody has to. That's not like, oh, if Cody doesn't come out and use profanity, then, you know, he's not hitting back at The Rock. You can hit back at The Rock without using profanity. It's fine. You know? One of the things about being in this PG era, these men and women, they didn't have the same freedoms that people had 25 years ago during the Monday Night War, where you could go out on TV and say almost anything and probably get away with it. They have had the handcuffs on them, whether it's scripted promos, whether it's the use of certain four-letter words. They didn't have that luxury, right? From time to time, they may have that luxury, but they had to figure out a way to get over, to get their promos over, without relying on all that stuff. And there are some people who just can't do it. They're just very boring, you know? They're very bland. They can't really cut a very interesting, compelling promo. Some people have to shout and scream when they cut promos. One of the things about someone like Jake the Snake Roberts, he didn't have to yell and scream. How often did Jake yell and scream in his promos? He didn't have to do that. He talked very low, so that you would have to lean in to hear what he was saying, and you paid attention to what he was saying, right? His cadence was very different. Everyone's style is different, and not everybody has to rely on that stuff to get themselves over. Cody managed to get himself over without all that stuff. All right, let's see who we got here. Can we pick up with this list? My goodness, there were so many early ones. All right, we're getting there. I promise the list on the screen is going to move soon. We had a lot of early super chats here. Holy shit, look at this, man. All right, M. Sun. Let's get through these here. M. Sun. My favorite part was when Cody said Ava Raine's forehead is so big when she was born, the doctor had to turn that sumbitch sideways. Oh, come on. Come on now. Although, you know what? Hey, Rock is the one who brought up Cody's family, so I'm just saying it's fair game if he wants to go after Rock's family. Jerome Eugenio. If WWE decides to keep the belt on Roman at Mania, is it the end of babyface Cody Rhodes? It's the end of me taking babyface Cody Rhodes seriously as a world title contender, yes. Yes. Yes, it is. We've got Seymour Tang. If Vince were still around calling the shots, how would the WrestleMania card and build-up be different? I don't know, but I don't think I would be enjoying it as much as I am now. So, yeah. I don't think I would be enjoying it as much. And frankly, I'm not sure we would have had CM Punk back. So for all you people that are happy and excited that CM Punk is back, if Vince McMahon was still in charge, I'm not sure that happens. DEH says, Lee Fitting is WWE's best signing of 2024 so far. That's right. And he is also ineligible to win an Emmy Award. But he's very good at his job, though. I'm not arguing with you on that. Austin Saxton. Omos is 24-0 against Akira Tozawa on live events in the last 7 months. It's like he's starting a Goldberg streak. Only nobody knows. Damn it, Dan, with the 1999. Damn it. Thank you, Dan. Buy, rent, sell. Rainmaker, Buckshot Lariat, or Clothesline from Hell. You know, I gotta say, one of my favorite clotheslines of all time is actually Bradshaw. It's the clothesline from hell that he gave to Shane McMahon at SummerSlam in 2001 when Shane was running around the ring during the Rock and Booker T match. APA came out, Shane's running around the ring, he's running away from Ron Simmons, and he doesn't see on the other side of the ring that Bradshaw is waiting for him. And when Shane rounds the bend, Bradshaw just wiped him out with a clothesline from hell. And Jim Ross had a great call. It's such a great spot. So as much of a dick as Bradshaw was, especially back then, I mean, he fit into that company very well back then. It's tough. It's tough. Which one do I buy, rent, and sell? I'm going to buy on the clothesline from hell. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy on the clothesline from hell. And I'm going to rent on the Rainmaker, and I'm going to sell on the Buckshot Lariat, because it just seems like a lot of effort for very little return. Buy or sell Sid promo or Steiner promo? Keep up the great work. P.S. Watch Black Christmas 1974. It is a great horror film. Yeah, you know, I have not seen Black Christmas. But buy or sell Sid promo or Steiner promo? Steiner. I love Sid, but I got to go Steiner. Alex says, Brother Solo, with Cody delivering very diplomatic and stylish promos, who would be his Attitude Era equivalent when it comes to his style of promos? Mick Foley, maybe? I don't know that he has an equivalent, honestly. Maybe Mick Foley. Maybe Mankind? Mankind sometimes would use those big words, but honestly, I don't think he has an equivalent. I can't think of very many people that were cutting promos like Cody Rhodes back during that time period. Cody does not have an Attitude Era style of promo delivery. Spartan Sprinkles. Dirty Dom against Minoru Suzuki at Bloodsport. Shoot that shit into my veins. Let's make it happen. Beefy Canadian. Been listening since 2009. Wow. Been in the hospital for over a year and just wanted to say thank you and the Sound Off Militia for keeping me sane and laughing. Cheers. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, I was going to say I hope it's not serious, but obviously if you've been in the hospital for a year, it must be somewhat serious. But I hope you're doing well, BP Canadian. Thank you for sticking with me for so long. And yes, the Sound Off Militia, that's a new word. I like that word. The Sound Off Militia is wishing you all the best. We're here for you, buddy. We are here for you, buddy. Fahad is here for us as well. Fahad dropped $120 super chat earlier. Fahad, with a hundy on a Monday. Fahad, thank you. You are the one tonight. Alex, what would be the very first thing you would do if you woke up and read the news that Raw is moving to 4 hours? Shoot that shit into my veins, only the other kind of shit that would make me go to sleep. Bret Hart. R-Truth is going to retrieve one set of belts and go to the back alongside a very confused Miz while the rest fight for the remaining set of belts. I could see that happening. I brought that up last week. I said, you know, you technically have two sets of belts, and if they wanted to split them off again, a ladder match would be one way of doing that. Spartan Sprinkles. Cody left $2 Productions a couple of years ago. I said, now it's $4. Domination Warrior says, you are buff. I'm skipping ahead here. Domination Warrior says, what year past 2014 had WWE's best roster? Past 2014? Oh, I don't know. I don't remember what the roster looked like year to year from that point on, honestly. They got a pretty good roster now. I can't sit here and say it's the best that they've had. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think in my mind year by year, and it's not something I can just kind of come up with. I'd have to look at, like, an image of what the roster was. And the rosters are always changing, too, with the drafts and everything else and the call-ups. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you. Samoan Fan says, your Buff Bagwell review made me laugh very hard. You know, I got a lot of feedback like that coming off of the Dark Side of the Ring review on the podcast yesterday. I'm telling you right now, go listen to it. Even if you don't watch Dark Side of the Ring, I would bet the majority of the people who watch my reviews on that show aren't actually watching Dark Side of the Ring because they either just don't watch it or they don't have Vice. Whatever the case may be, the feedback I've gotten over the past couple of years, I don't get the sense that the people listening to those reviews are even watching the show. I think they're just listening to my reviews of it. So, which is awesome. I think that's great. And I'm glad that you are enjoying them. I will tell you right now that that episode is the most, just the wildest, most batshit insane, I think, of any of the Dark Sides that I've seen. And there have been some crazy things on those episodes in the past. This is already season 5. So if there's one review that I tell you you need to go back and listen to, that would be the one. Orioles Peak. Don't get why people just can't ignore Cornette if they hate him so much. I don't like JD, so I don't listen to him. IWC needs to grow up. Well, I mean, Cornette is always a lightning rod for all kinds of stuff. He has a big platform. That's why people are always talking about him. So when he goes out there and he says something controversial, he trends on Twitter. I see his name trending from time to time, and before I even click on it, it's always for something horrendous that he said, or he said something about one of the women's wrestlers, or, you know, he said this about this person or that person. It's always one of those types of things. And it's true. I mean, look, if you don't want to listen to him, then don't listen to him. If you don't like Cornette, don't listen to Cornette. I don't understand why people make such a big deal about it. It's not like the guy's in wrestling anymore. You know, if he was working for a promotion and he did something that offended you and it bothered you that he was employed by one of these, big companies, and I guess I can understand it, but otherwise, just fucking ignore them. It's not that hard. You know, when it comes to Cornette, just, if you don't like it, just fucking ignore them. What do you want me to say? Nick Grasso. After tonight, it looks like Chad Gable is going to be the Apollo Creed to Sami Zayn's Rocky. And Gunther is the Clubber Lang in this story. Also, are you going to watch the Bray Wyatt documentary on Peacock? I am going to watch the Bray Wyatt documentary. I was getting emotional just from a 1-minute trailer. I can only imagine what that documentary is going to be like. They interviewed a lot of people for it. They interviewed JoJo. Interviewed Bo Dallas. I think they interviewed Mike Rotunda, because I think in one of the scenes in the commercial he was crying. They had Hogan in there. I mean, they got a bunch of people. Undertaker is doing the narration for it. It's going to be tough. I mean, it hasn't even been a full year yet. It still feels weird, you know, to think that he's not even around, but that is going to be a very difficult watch. And I said this to somebody earlier, that if he is going into the Hall of Fame this year, I think they make the announcement the day of the documentary, the day that it drops, which is the Monday before WrestleMania. I think that Monday is April 1st, I believe. That's the day I think we get the announcement. If he's going in, that he's going to be going into the Hall of Fame. Orioles Peak says Cody Rhodes. Yes, Alexa Bliss is in it as well, yes. John Cena. I'm sure they're going to talk to a lot of people. Cody's promo proved why the idea of Rock overshadowing people is ridiculous. Never a doubt. Now it's Roman's turn to show what he is made of. Retro KOH, dear Mr. The Monster, please remind me, what do we all think of Kevin Dunn? You know, there's a super chat for that now. I gotta, hey, Once it becomes a super chat, we gotta leave it for that. We gotta leave it for that. For all the work I put into it too, for God's sake. We all know what people think of Mr. Dunn over there. Happy to not have him around anymore. Barry says, how do you feel about Sandman being DLC for 2K24? Could this mean he could go into a future Hall of Fame? I wouldn't read too much into it. Him being a DLC in the game has no bearing whatsoever on whether or not he goes into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I mean, I would not read into that at all. And as far as him being DLC, me personally, I don't care either way. Sandman was never one of my favorites. I'm very indifferent towards him. I was never a big Sandman guy, so honestly, I don't really give a shit. So, Darth Panic, do you think Chad Gable's size or lack of size affects his position on the card? I wonder if the Land of the Giants, Vanilla Midgets, prejudice still exists with the Bookers. I think his size absolutely has an impact on whether or not, you know, he's pushed at a certain level. Not that he can't be pushed at a high level at some point. I think someone like Triple H now would be more apt to do something with him that, you know, Vince McMahon wouldn't. But you can't tell me that if Chad Gable was 6'3" or 6'4" with the wrestling ability that he has, that he would not be pushed as one of the top guys in this company right now. I believe he would be. So yes, I do believe his size does have at least some impact on his level of push. Alex says, were WWE Cyber Sunday fan voting results legitimate? And if so, what are your thoughts on WWE reviving it? Supposedly, yes. They were legitimate. And I think that it was a terrible idea for a pay-per-view. I think it would be a much better idea for a television show. So if they wanted to have a special episode of Raw or a special episode of SmackDown with fan voting on some matches, no problem. I think that's fine. As a pay-per-view, I think it's a terrible concept. And I'm glad they did away with it. Because you can't promote a pay-per-view where the majority of the card is undecided. It just doesn't work. That's why they don't do it anymore. So I think it's a terrible pay-per-view concept. If they want to revive it for TV, I think that's perfectly fine. Uffman Entertainment. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Because that don't work for me, brother Jack Dude. That's right. That don't work for me, brother. Marios with $1.99. Depod General. Solomonsta. Right, he's my personal ring announcer. Der Pal, I can't do it. I can't do it, man. You're asking me to do German? I'm the wrong person to be doing that. Bobby Means, could we get Cody against Orton at SummerSlam? I would love to see it. I hope we do. Arabian Knight, what are they doing with Jade? She debuted in October. I don't get it. Is she that green? She was fine in AEW wrestling consistently. Would her and MVP be a good duo? Yeah, I think they would be. And yes, she is green. She does not have a lot of experience. They realized it very quickly when they saw her down in developmental. Triple H kind of danced around it at one of the scrums late last year, but he all but said they underestimated how green this woman was when they signed her. It was a shock even to them. And so she is someone that's going to be, I mean, she's going to make them so much money. She's going to be a huge star. Take your time and don't use her until she is ready. If you think that she is ready to be in a six-person tag at WrestleMania, then do Bianca, Naomi, and Jade against Damage Control. If not, take your time. You don't need to rush into things with her. Hopefully she'll get better. Hopefully she'll get more comfortable. Hopefully she'll, you know, pick up certain things that she didn't know before. And she'll be even better than she was the last time we saw her. She is an investment for them. But is she that green? Yes. And that's right. As Winston said, she literally used to have green hair too. Yes. Yes, she is. Mr. Ruby Dog. Would you shave your brother? That may be the way the Bagwells do things. That's not the way that the Solomons do things. Prince Gitta. Hey, Prince, what's going on, man? I haven't heard from you in a while. Why was Santana Garrett never hired by WWE? You mentioned once that it was a petty reason. She could have been a big star. What did she do? I don't think it's a matter of anything that she did. There were always rumors that maybe it had to do with someone she was dating at the time. And, you know, fact from fiction, who knows what was real and what wasn't. It was something very petty like that. I always thought that she had a great look. I always liked the colorful gear that she used to wear. I thought she was actually a very good wrestler. And yeah, I don't understand it either. I don't know why she wasn't picked up a lot earlier and isn't a star right now on TV. Don't know. Mike, hope Raquel gets better. Take on Shayna versus Sasha. Just how would the match be? I think it would probably be a good match. It's not like we're going to see that match anytime in the near future, but yes, I hope Raquel gets better as well. Raquel Rodriguez has once again been taken off of the active roster. She is still dealing with her mast cell activation syndrome. It's the skin condition that she's been dealing with for a while now. And hopefully they can get that under control, and hopefully she gets better very soon. Booba, who wins in a rap battle? R-Truth or Max Caster? I'm going with R-Truth. I'm not betting against him. Arabian Knight, Drew gonna win at WrestleMania, then Punk will cost him the title minutes later to a Damian Priest cash-in, or the next day on Raw, especially if Drew has not re-signed. You know, that's interesting. If Drew wins the title, and then Punk lays him out with a go-to-sleep, and then Damian Priest comes out and cashes in. You know? Like, Drew is groggy, gets back to his feet, South of Heaven chokeslam, 1-2-3. And then CM Punk gets the last laugh. But then what do you do? Like, I feel like McIntyre would just be so beside himself, and Punk is still not ready to come back for several more months. I wonder if Drew would go away for a while. There was talk that Drew, you know, he may resign. He's going to resign. I mean, if he hasn't already, he's going to resign. But that he might want to take time off and go visit family back home in Ireland. Maybe he takes time off. Maybe that happens to him. Maybe he wins and then loses, and then he just loses his mind. And he takes a few months off. And by the time he comes back, Punk is ready to come back, and then they can kind of get back to their feud. I don't know. We're just spitballing here. We're throwing ideas around, but I could see that. I still would like to see him get a title win, though, but I didn't say how long that title win would last. Could be a matter of minutes. We have got Barry MK. Stacy Keibler was DLC for 2K22, and she went into the Hall of Fame the next year. Right, but the implication is that people who go into the DLC are potentially going to be considered for Hall of Fame inductions that year or the following year. And what I'm saying is, I don't think that Sandman becoming DLC is going to have any impact on whether or not he goes into the Hall of Fame. Now, Ken Shamrock signing a merchandise or a licensing deal, that I could see tying into a potential Hall of Fame induction. Not this year, obviously, but maybe next year. I thought for sure Lex Luger was going to go in this year. I'm very surprised that Luger's not going in this year. We'll see maybe next year if it happens. I do feel like Elizabeth should go in before him, though. Chris Mikesell. What is your favorite First Blood match? Stone Cold Steve Austin against The Undertaker at Fully Loaded 1999. That's my favorite First Blood match. A shout out to Northeast Ohio Boise State fan. One time at Bandcamp. You got to finish the story, brother. He's been a channel member for 11 months. Shout out to all of our channel members, by the way. All part of our GWO. I thank you very much. If you want to become a channel member, you can hit that join button down below. It'll give you all the details there. Thank you guys for all of your super chats. Some good questions there. Some good stuff. The likes goal tonight for our Be the Booker segment was 450, and we are currently sitting at 583, and you know what that means. It's that time. This is how we love to start the week. It's time to Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
This is the correct way to start off a new week with Be the Booker. You know, we got a six-team ladder match at WrestleMania for the tag team title. Six teams. All we need tonight is two. Can we put together a good match? Let us find out. I don't need six. All I need is two. Hey, Daniel Malcolm just gifted a channel membership. Double S is the lucky recipient. Congrats to Double S. Oh, boy. We begin with Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. What is Jarrett doing in this picture? It looks like he's taking the biggest breath. Like, look at this. His pecs are up into his neck. What is going on with him in this image? Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Taking on Trent and Chuck of Best Friends. Yeah, fuck that. I don't want to see that match. I don't want to see that match. Come on, man. We can do better than that. I'm trying to book a card here. What's going on? You can see that match on Rampage. That is literally a Rampage match. I will guarantee you anything that that match has taken place on Rampage before. Women's Be the Booker. Begin with Willow Nightingale, who was in the main event, one half of the main event on Dynamite this past Wednesday. Big fan of Willow. Willow is great. Willow. Willow Nightingale. Come on, let's land on Mercedes. I want a Mercedes. Come on, it would make too much sense. Willow Nightingale against Willow Nightingale. Oh, man. You know, that does happen from time to time. Remember now, Be the Booker is completely random. I have no control over this, but I will tell you that I happen to believe that Willow Nightingale against Willow Nightingale would actually be a fucking great match. That's right. It is. It is a great match. That's right. A mirror match. We get those from time to time. We've had Kurt Angle against Kurt Angle. We've had, I think we've had Andrade against Andrade, I believe, haven't we? I believe so. Multiple Willows. Willows everywhere. Let's go to Men's Be the Booker. You can't make this shit up. You can't write that. You can't. It's not possible. If I tried that 1,000 times, I wouldn't be able to do that. All right, here we go. Men's Be the Booker. Men's Be the Booker. We begin with the game. He doesn't care what the script says, what the rundown for the show is. All he wants to know, am I fucking going over? That's what he wants to know. That's all he wants to know. Triple H is in the main event, of course, right? Where he always wants to be. And Triple H is going to take on Konosuke Takeshita. Ooh, man, that's good. Like, you take prime Triple H. I'm talking, like, year 2000 Triple H against modern day Kenosuke Takeshita, and you got yourself a winner of a match there. I like that match a lot. That is a fucking great match. That really is, man. That is prime main event material right there is what that is. So what did we end up with? We ended up with Triple H against Kenosuke Takeshita and Willow Nightingale against Willow Nightingale. And then the Rampage match, we'll just kind of forget about that. We'll put that on the side. So no clean sweep tonight, but I think we redeemed ourselves with that main event. That was some good stuff there. Well, last week it was big business, and I guess this week it's just regular business. I guess business is down. I haven't checked the attendance for Wednesday, but I'm sure it's not going to be what it was in Boston last week. But this will be the first official Dynamite with Mercedes. She's going to be on the show. I don't know what she's going to be doing. She'll be talking, I guess. And that is the next time I will be live with you. We'll be after AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, and then again on Friday for the big face-to-face on SmackDown between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. And again, if you missed episode 853 of the Sound Off that went up yesterday, covered a lot of things there, including Dark Side of the Ring, a very, very disturbing edition of Dark Side of the Ring. Go check that out. Drop me a tweet. Leave some feedback. I always love hearing from you guys. I'm going to get out of here. I'll see you Wednesday night. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you all for the love. Thank you all for the support and hanging out with me on a Monday night. And we'll do it all over again in 48 hours. Till then, take care.